The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to my program Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I have a treat for us all, and I'm really thinking about this is a treat for me. Honestly, it is, because I've got my guitar hero on the line, Mr. Doyle Dykes, Mr. Fingerpicking himself. Welcome to my program, Doyle.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And of course, I've known you a long time. I always admired your ministry and everything that you've done. But this is just fantastic. It's something new and refreshing, and I'm excited for you and all the listeners out there, too.
Those are extremely nice words. Thank you, Doyle. Just for our listeners, I have to tell the quick story. You were doing a guitar clinic, as you often do, and it was down at George's Superstore, Music Superstore, south part of Orlando. And I believe the year was 2001, and I had not heard of you yet at this point. And that day, I had gone into one of their other stores, and they were playing your video. And I said, "Who in the world is that guy that you're playing?" He goes, "That's Doyle Dykes, and he's playing tonight at our other store down in International Drive." And I couldn't believe it. So I got my son and I, we said, "Well, we're going to be there." And so I arrive at that place, and lo and behold, as we're walking in, I look at the fellow walking in next to me, and it was you. And I got to talk with you, and we're talking on our way in. I'm sure you don't remember any of that, but because there's just all of these people down there, and you put on a show that was unbelievable. And we got to talk afterwards, and then later I moved to Gainesville. And it worked out for you to come to Gainesville a number of times for us there, and to play. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What a joy it has been ever since that first night to see a guy who not only is one of the best pickers in the world. And Doyle, I know you would not be comfortable in saying that, but everybody else does. That's what we're all saying. And even if you look at some of your reviews, you are regarded one of the best guitar players, not in the United States, in the entire world. So what a joy this is to have you on. And I know you get to play things like the Opry. You tour around the world. You've received many honors from, I think back even to Chet Atkins, who his quote about you, "You're one of the finest finger pickers around." That's pretty big, coming from Mr. Chet himself. What was knowing Chet like?
Anytime Chet Atkins said anything about you, I don't think he had any idea how much weight that carried. I mean, because he was just so honest and nonchalant, and he was really a country gentleman. You know, he really was, and you could tell that in his playing, and it's also in his personality. He was a really gracious man. Last time I went out, it was only about a week or so ago. I was out in Texas, and I've been very, very selective where I've been going and playing, of course.
Because of the pandemic?
Because of the pandemic. But God has continued to open the right doors and has just been so good to us and protecting us, and but also using me. And anyway, I carried this guitar in one of my sort of low times. I think everybody has those. You know, where you need to be encouraged?
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that, like David in the Bible, we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, just like he did. But there are other times when the Lord just sends someone to encourage you, you know. And this is what happened that day. His secretary actually called me. "When are you going to be in the Nashville area? And Mr. Atkins wants you to come by." And of course, I said, "Well, when do you want me there?"
Yes.
And so I went to his office, and I'll never forget, Mike, he's walking down the stairs with this old brown Gibson case, and he had written notes on it, you know, because of the guitar that was on the inside, and it had a particular type of preamp. It was custom, and it was a Gibson and one of his designs. And he says, Doyle, I've followed you for a long time, and I know what you do in church and for the Lord, and I've always admired that. And I'd like to give you something that I think will bless you. And he gave me one. He gave me that guitar.
No,
one of his guitars.
Oh my goodness!
And every once in a while, I'll take it out. I use it a lot over Christmas, and yeah, I love it. I mean, it's just one of those things. And so I guess he just had to hear from God at that particular time, because that was a time, like I say, in my life that I really had thought about quitting. I had thought about just going, move back home, get a job, doing something else, and forget it. But that was a touchstone in my life. It was more than a thing. It was his thoughtfulness, and it was God, I felt like, speaking to me to encourage me to keep on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. But yeah, he was a wonderful guy. And I was on the Grand Ole Opry with him one time, and also Dwayne Eddy was on that show. And then also the Opry Guitar Trio, which was Leon Rhodes and Spider Wilson and Jimmy Capps, who was a real close friend. And that was probably one of the most memorable nights that I have ever had in my whole life, memorable times. And the other people, I could understand them being there, but I couldn't understand me being there.
Oh,
he treated me just like one of the other stars. You know what I mean? He just had such, just treated me like one of the guys. And boy, he was a gracious man.
Well, I tell you, those of us that know you and those that have loved your music from afar, they have no problems believing you were there, my friend. And there are YouTube videos of you on the Opry from that time frame that I encourage our listeners to go out and search out Doyle Dykes' Grand Ole Opry and be prepared to be amazed. But what I love about you more than anything, it's not just your guitar prowess, which is clear. It's obvious that God has gifted you with a mind and fingers and a musical understanding that just defies gravity. That's what it feels like anyway. But more importantly, he called you as a son. Tell us about your early coming to Jesus.
Well, you know, I was telling someone not too long ago on a podcast, I probably, to some people, have a rather boring testimony, you know, but in my life, the way I see it, I'm so thankful. You know, I'm a musician. A lot of my friends, you know, never made it to their 30s, you know, because of the lifestyle of musicians. But I tell people, I say, yeah, you know, God delivered me from drugs and habits of alcoholism or whatever it might be. He just delivered me before I ever tried any of it, before I ever got into any of it. And so I was just a kid. I was raised in church, and I'm from Florida. I'm from Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandfather was the choir director at our church, and then my father played guitar in church. And I mean, from the time I was a little kid, Dad would play his old gold top electric guitar, Les Paul, and Mom would be standing a few feet away, and in the middle would be my brother and me, and we're standing on a chair singing through one microphone, and we're all harmonized. And I did that when I was 2-3 years old, you know. And then when we got older and we would always be singing and doing things in church, I took a few piano lessons for a year or two. But I just didn't have any interest in any of that. It just didn't seem. But when I got saved, I was 11 years old. And I just, for the first time, I knew in my knower, you know, so to say, that I was saved. I always had a doubt in my mind, you know, even as a kid. I remember when I would pray at night, I'd say my prayers at the end of every night. I said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Please save me. But I never had that assurance until I was 11 years old. It was in a meeting, a series of meetings we had. They used to call them revivals. That's what we called it. And 52 young people came to the Lord in that revival, and I was one of them. My brother was also involved in that, and so it was just an amazing time. I remember raising my hands to the Lord. I said, God, give me a job to do, and I'll always tell people about you. And not knowing that here I am in my 60s now, someone asked me not long ago, are your fingers insured? I said, no, but they're on Medicare now. And so never knew that I would be using my hands and playing guitar all over the world. But I'm still doing it, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But, yeah, I can't separate my music and also my experience with the Lord, because it all sort of came together. You know, when I came to the Lord, it was like that purpose came into my life, and I could see for the first time, and I had a desire very, very shortly after that. Within a few days, I want to play the guitar. That's what I want to do. And yeah, so I'm thankful for his direction in my life.
You know, when I think about this, what you've just shared, Doyle, my mind goes racing back to one of those early times when I first got to know you, and I got to actually be with you, with your dad, and watching the two of you play together at one of those functions. And what a joy that was to be able to watch him play and to be with you and to see a little bit of that chemistry, that father and son chemistry that you guys so enjoyed. And it was clear to everybody there.
Well, Dad was a big influence, you know, in my life. He loved guitar. I was talking to my mother. She's 92. And I was talking to her about Dad, and she said, well, no one loved the guitar more than he did. And I have to say, yeah, I think you're right, Mom. I mean, I really love guitars, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody that loved guitar more than Dad. And he also loved the Lord, and he used his talent for the Lord. And but you know, also on my mother's side, she had a brother that was also a huge influence in my life, and everybody called him Smitty Smith. And I called him Uncle Doyle because I was named after him.
Mm-hmm.
So his name was actually Doyle. But Mom was from a little town outside of Tifton, Georgia. And she was raised in a little place called Lenox. Mm-hmm. And she was born in Omega, Georgia. We would say Omega today.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, she didn't really... she knew her brother, but he moved away when she was pretty young, and he moved up to Washington, D.C., and he got involved in the music business. I don't know how in the world he learned to play like he did. He was actually raised in North Georgia, but he was an amazing harmonica player, and everyone, I didn't even realize it, Mike, until I was on the Grand Ole Opry, you know, as a regular, and I would talk to little Jimmy Dickens, and he said, you mean Smitty Smith was your uncle?
Oh my goodness.
Said, yeah. And Roy Clark and Grandpa Jones and Billy Grammer and all these people, Eddie Arnold. I mean, they all knew him very, very well. And so I had a lot of that DNA on his side as well. And I really idolized him, for lack of a better term.
Wow.
But yeah, I had music on both sides of the family.
And tell the quick story, if you will, about how it was that you got into fingerstyle picking, because that happened kind of abruptly for you. And I know that you were probably as taken by that as most players who love guitar, but you learned in a most unusual way, right?
Well, I did. I mean, Dad listened to Chet Atkins and Merle Travis. Of course, he loved Les Paul, like I said before. less play with the flat pick. But Chet Atkins and Merle Travis, that really wasn't the style that Dad played, but he loved it so much. And he just didn't know how to do it. Neither did I. But I listened to Chet Atkins all the time, and I tried to mimic him with a flat pick. And being raised in Jacksonville, Jacksonville is a port city, so you had all these Navy bases there. And so we were constantly having sailors come to the church to visit, And back in the day, we didn't know if they were there for God or girls or what, but we were just glad that they came to church. But this one, I think, was there for God and the guitar. And he was an amazing guitar player. He came up to my father and he said, he called him Brother Dykes. He said, "Do you mind if I play your guitar a little?" He said, "Well, you play, son. Well, you go up and play us something." Because after church, we would jam sometimes and just have fun for another 2 hours, after.
Yes.
And so he picks up Dad's guitar. And it was a Gibson 335. I still remember that guitar. And he starts playing this Chet Atkins fingerstyle guitar. I was blown away because for the first time up close, I saw someone do that. And so I ran to my mother and I said, "Mom, can we have him over for dinner?" Of course, if you go to Mom's house for dinner, even today, you better be there at noon because it was breakfast, dinner, and supper, and it still is. And so we had him over, as we would say now, for lunch, but we had him all afternoon. And he sat down with me and showed me some very simple little fingerstyle patterns. I don't know where he got that, but it was ingenious because it actually sort of, my dad said it kind of brainwashes your thumb and you don't even know it, but it was an amazing little thing. And, so we lost contact with each other for over 30 years. And it's a story that I actually wrote a book a number of years ago, and I put it in there, Barry the Sailor, because how he got back into my life was amazing. It really was. Mm-hmm. He had quit playing, and so anyway, it's another story, maybe for another show. But God put Barry back into our lives, and when I was inducted into the Finger Pickers Hall of Fame, which was in Muhlenberg County, where it all started, and that's where Merle Travis was from. It was held at the Merle Travis Center, Performing Arts Center. And they inducted me in this Hall of Fame along with Steve Warner and Chet Atkins and Jerry Reed and Tommy Emmanuel.
Wow.
And of course, Merle. And after the show, the first guy that I called when I got in my car was Barry the Sailor.
Wow. And
it's amazing how in one afternoon you can change a young person's life just by showing them something.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, we're going to play a song right now because there's so much more talk that I want to get to with you in just a moment. But this song, it kind of puts a little bit of that finger style on display, but also you're singing as well. And it's kind of fun. And this is a newer song for you. It's called Guitar Poor. And I love that whole title. Tell us a little bit about the makeup of this song before we hear it.
I was walking outside one day, and I was in my backyard, and I was just saying, "Lord, thank you for my home and for some time here, and thank you for your blessings in my life." And then I got to thinking about it, some things that my wife had wanted, like a new kitchen,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Like that. And I thought, "Lord, I would have already had that had I not had all these guitar." I said, "Lord, the fact is I'm just guitar poor." And I ran and went in the house, and we were going to go to lunch. And she just kind of said, "Aren't you ready for lunch?" She's downstairs. I'm upstairs. I said, "I'll be there in a minute. I'm doing something." And I ran downstairs with my guitar. I said, "I wrote you a song." It was a joke to her that I'm guitar poor. And, so when I got into the studio, it's funny, I had these friends of mine that I had worked some with. They're from Florida. In fact, the Booth Brothers, great gospel singers.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You'll see them on the Gaither shows and all that. And so they came in there, and they're actually singing backup on this song.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just a fun thing, and but I hope the folks enjoy it.
Well, this is Doyle Dykes and Guitar Poor here on Afternoons with Mike. Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. Oh, man, what a great song. That is Guitar Poor. Doyle Dykes, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. And, you know, that's so much fun. I always think about that. You're right. When the question is, how many guitars do you need? And the answer is, of course, one more.
Just one more.
You know, we were talking about this sailor that came and in one afternoon, Doyle, changed your life. That is an amazing story of the impact that a person can make just in a 24-hour period.
Well, it is. I was in mainland China just a few years ago, about, I think, it was two or three years ago. And I was on this big trade show. And then I had done some things for magazines, and then we did a little tour, and there was an online magazine in mainland China, and they said, we like to ask our artists if they would give us a song and then explain how to play it. And I said, well, you know what, I think I'd like to do something a little bit different. Instead of a song, I'd like to show you a little finger picking pattern that a fellow showed me when I was just a kid. And I said, I called him Barry the Sailor. And I showed that and explained that on this video podcast type thing on for a magazine, Guitar Players. And it went all over China. And I mean, there are a lot of people in China. And so it's an amazing thing. When I got back to the States, I saw Barry about a month later, and I told him about it. Mm. I said, well, Barry didn't make a dime on that, neither did I. But but I said, you know, I'd really like to know, Barry, where did you get that little pattern? Because I've showed that to people for years, and I never knew where you got that. He says, you know, Doyle, I really don't know.
Wow.
He said, it's kind of like that day you were – he said, that day I was the perfect teacher and you were the perfect student.
Isn't that something?
And I'll never forget that, you know. And I think he said, I think it was just a God thing.
Wow.
No doubt it was.
He was playing over his head and you were growing, and that was your destiny. My goodness. What a story.
Absolutely.
That's great. My guest today, Doyle Dykes, just a guitar player extraordinaire. I'll be back with Doyle. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. And this is one of those days I'm having the time of my life. I've got my guitar hero. I think all guitar players alive today have watched Doyle Dykes on YouTube. Doyle, wouldn't YouTube have been a fun thing when we were young players?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I can't hardly imagine that at all. Yeah, because in my day, if I saw one of my guitar heroes on television, like Chet Atkins or later on Jerry Reed or maybe Merle Travis on the Porter Wagoner, you might see him on Porter Wagoner. It was just such a short time. And then a lot of times Chet would do something like Yakety Yaks, which is a lead type song, just single strings, you know, and so to be able to actually see what somebody does and then run it back as many times as you want, that's an amazing thing. And thank God for that. I mean, there's an acceleration in kids and learning when they finally find something. But on the other hand, I think there's a deceleration. Is that a word?
Yeah, you can decelerate. Yeah.
Because there's so much on there, and that kids seem to want that instant gratification. That's why video games, I think, are so big, you know. And playing a guitar, it takes practice, it takes time. And so I just want to encourage kids out there, if you have a desire, or even think you may want to learn to play a guitar or a piano or something like that, you know, there's no substitute for practice, but the reward is fantastic, and it'll be with you for life. And, you know, it's funny, though. I used to tell my son, I said, you know, you should learn to play an instrument. I said, don't spend too much time on video games. Nothing wrong with video games. I mean, my grandkids are into it today, but as long as they don't spend too much of their time doing that. Mm-hmm. But I said, yeah, that'll be the day when you see an audience that they're watching somebody play a video game. And now there are thousands that do.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, was I wrong about that. But they actually have audiences, you know. And so the world has changed, Mike.
Really. It has. And, you know, I just look at this whole thing of YouTube and all the guitar videos that are there. It's a great tool, but you're right. There is that aspect that one can almost decelerate in your growth because it's almost throwing so much there. And if you try to get to those points where you are, and I've worked at it, I'm one of those players that I can make some sounds at it. Doyle Dyke's career is very safe. you have no threat from me or most other people, my friend, because though we work at it, I'll be spending the rest of my life just picking up crumbs from the table. But that's okay. That's the fun part about guitar. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he said, Mike, he said, there's always somebody better than you. And that's what you need to learn, and mm-hmm. you need to remember and enjoy where you are. And
absolutely.
I think that's a wise way to look at it, and enjoy the gift to whatever degree that God has enabled us to enjoy it. And for the rest of the time, we're going to get to enjoy watching Doyle Dykes because it is enjoyable to watch you play. You've written this.
Thank you.
You've written this new song, a relatively new song, called La Certeza. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the pandemic had just begun about a year, a little over, not quite a year ago from this date. And I remember hearing the words in these uncertain times that we're living in. I would hear it on commercials. I would hear it on news commentators and preachers and everyone in these uncertain times, uncertainty. Mm-hmm. We're in such, you know, there's so much uncertainty in the world. And I got the feeling in my spirit that people need to see that Christ is our certainty. There is a certainty in all this craziness, and his name is Jesus.
That's right.
He is our certainty. Billy Graham preached a message many, many years ago, the certainty of hope. And we have hope, and praise God, you know, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there is a certainty in our faith, and there's definitely a certainty in our relationship with God. But there is a certainty without a doubt in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked up a guitar and I started playing this song, and I sent it over to a friend of mine. His name is Eric Johnson. He's a Grammy Award-winning rock guitar player that's just great. And I record so much of my stuff at his studio. And I said, what do you think of this? And I just sent it to him on my phone. He said, it sounds like you should do that on your nylon string guitar. He said, I love the song. It sounds kind of Spanish, but I had not written the intro, and it weaves all the way through, and so it becomes an interlude almost, and then the ending. And so it became more Spanish, and I think the Spanish language is one of the most beautiful languages in the world. And so instead of calling it The Certainty, like I was going to, I call it La Certeza, which is the translation for that.
Mm-hmm. This is Doyle Dykes, La Certeza. Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. That is beautiful. I love it. And you're right, that Spanish sound in A minor. And I just love classical and Spanish especially. That's a beautiful and very heartfelt song. Thank you for writing it. And again, now knowing the backstory, it was written as The Certainty, because that is something that we have as believers that nobody else could understand if they don't know Jesus. He's the rock.
That's right. Amen.
You know, before we go into another break, just if you could share with us a little bit of the story that happened to you back, I'm thinking around 2002, you were struck with some physical problems, and it looked like there for a while that you were needing surgery, and I know you ended up having the surgery. And to me, this is a story of amazing faith that God has allowed you to continue playing guitar. Can you share that story?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because it was like a distortion in my right ear, and I kept hearing this. I thought, what is that? You know, and so I went to a doctor, and he says, well, it could be this, could be that, and you know, it could be a tumor, but you know that they're very rare. But he said, Doyle, I see rare every day, you know, in my work. And he said, maybe we should do an MRI. And at the same time, I had gone to see the Oak Ridge Boys. And I remember telling my daughter, I said, does it sound distorted to you? Because they had asked me if I would, they wanted me to start fronting some of their programs or opening for them in the Branson or something. We never did, but it was just kind of just a thought, an idea. But I've known the Oaks for years, but they sounded distorted. And I said, are you hearing that? And she says, no, Dad, it sounds fine. I said, something's wrong. And then I had to go to Japan. And the whole time over there, it was on my right side. And I remember just tears flowing down my face. I said, something's not right. So when I got back, I had, sure enough, it was a brain tumor. And it was it was a tumor on the vestibular nerve, which is, you know, your balance nerve. And that's where all your hearing nerves, your audio nerves are, and everything is all intertwined into that little area. So they had to sever my vestibular nerve. And when they did, of course, I lost hearing on my right side. Mm-hmm. And they drain your brain, the fluid out of your brain to get to it. And the procedure they did, I wanted to try to save my hearing. So it was much more evasive. And, the residual effects were terrible headaches. I mean, my wife even said to the doctor, she said, well, he's had child migraines all his life, you know, even when he's a kid. He's had migraines. He said, this is not migraines. This is way worse than a migraine. And he was right. And so I would, you know, I battled that for 3 years, the exact time he said. And so I'm thankful for healing. I'm thankful that God was always there when I needed it. And there were times when I was, you can watch some of my videos and I can look and think I was sick that day. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
I got through that. I remember I was in a castle over in England. I was playing at this beautiful home called Knebworth House. It's where they've had a lot of big rock concerts. And I had to keep going to the restroom to throw up because it was just taken. It was just the way I could handle it. It was just too much pain. And I remember walking out in these beautiful gardens, and this friend is a good friend of mine now that owns a home. And anyway, he's a Lord Henry Cobbled. And I said, Lord Henry, are we finished? He said, yes. I said, excuse me. And I walked over about 30 yards and threw open his flower bed. You know?
Oh, my.
And so I remember the times. It was just the most awful time in my whole life. I said, God, please help me, give me healing or take me home or something, but I can't live this way. And so it was terrible also to lose your hearing. I remember when I was the first show I did, the first program was at Saddleback Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked
California
me if I would play. And yes, Rick Warren and Rick Muchow, who was a worship leader, asked me if I'd play with the worship band. And Mike, it was terrifying. And everything sounded different, sounded like it was coming from, of course, it was coming from one, but it sounded like it was coming from the other side of the building. And I just ran to the back room. I said, excuse me, Rick. And I ran to the back room and just had myself a cry again. Oh. I mean, I just couldn't. I said, God, I don't know if I can do this. Help me. And there was a scripture that came to mind. And I took out my little amplified Bible. Now, this is a little Bible I'd keep in my pocket. I mean, it was been with me if I was playing on the Opry or at the, you know, the Cavern Club, you know, in England.
Mm-hmm.
But I would take out this little Bible, and in Philippians 4:13, and this is really what got me through. It says in the Amplified Bible, I always call that the guitar player's Bible, the Amplified. But it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Mm-hmm. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything in him who infuses inner strength into me, which is a medical term, infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I said that three times and went out there. I never looked back. So God will get you through, even in things that times, even as a musician losing the whole right side, I have no hearing even to this day. But yeah, I mean, there's so many other things that I'm just so thankful for. Someone says, I'm glad you didn't get mad at God. I said, no. How could I? You get closer to God. You know, I'm drawn more to him for his strength and his love and his encouragement to me.
It
was an experience. I wouldn't ever want to do it again.
Yeah, I understand.
No good thing.
But that is yet another reason why so many people love you, Doyle, is that even through adversity, you display grace and the faith that comes from your love for Jesus that is so real. Doyle Dykes, my guest. We're going to be back with Doyle one more time. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. One of the things that I love about Doyle Dykes is his musical choices. If you've ever gone to one of his concerts, you're going to hear things across the board. I guess that phrase that you said to God, you said, if you give me a job, I'll tell people about you. And you've done that for years now, and you do it often by telling people stories when you bring up a great song. And a song like the one that you've done recently, Sweet Hour of Prayer, it tells a story all by itself, doesn't it?
It does. And the story of me doing that, the Booth Brothers were, like I said, I got to know them pretty well. I even did a little traveling with them, which I never thought I'd ever do again, because I traveled with a gospel group back when I was a kid, but I just did it. I didn't make a dime. I just did it, and traveled a few weekends with them. And they instilled something in my life and to go back and to take some of those songs. And that song was on my mind. I went to Austin, and I was at Eric Johnson's studio, and his engineer, he said, what is this song you just did? You know, even he knew, because I told him, I said, his name was Kelly. I said, Kelly, just turn the machine on. And what you just heard, just really, I mean, the arrangement, I had thought a little bit of it at the hotel before I went to the studio, but I never really played it all.
Mm.
But that was it. And later I tried it on another guitar. I said, well, I'm going to try to get that same arrangement. And we threw it out. I did it on my Olsen. It was a $30,000 guitar. But that one was my little Gil's. It was a little signature model guitar. And we went back and listened. I said, you know, there's just no way that you can ever. When the Holy Spirit is moving at a time like that,
mm-hmm.
you can't duplicate everything about it. I mean, I'll still play it like that. Mm-hmm. But that was just a moment in time. And thank God we had the recorder on.
I love it. It was rolling, and here it is. This is Doyle Dykes and Sweet Hour of Prayer. Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. What an unbelievable song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Doyle Dykes, thank you so much for being with me here today on my program, and it is so great to talk with you again. I hope Haley and the family are doing great.
Yes, they are, and she has two children. I have... I told someone the other day, last year I was voted grandfather of the year, and it only took 5 votes.
That's awesome.
Man, I love my grandkids, man. I tell you, and I know you do, you're the same. And
yes.
Haley has two, Emmett and Emmylou. And they live in a little small town outside of Nashville, and they are so very different. Then we have Drew and Layla in Florida, and then we have one, Lenny, here close to us. And so, yeah, I love my music, but I'm more proud of that than and my kids and my wife, 47, 48 years later this year than anything. So I'm so blessed. Mike, it's great to be on your show with you. You know I love you big. And special thanks and a hello to all my friends in Florida. That's my home state. Hope to be down there again soon.
Well, we hope you are. And when you are, we've got to have you come up to the studio and bring your guitar when you do, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend Doyle Dykes and friends, thank you for being with me here today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on the Shepherd Radio Network.